The Golden Tree Guild is in darkness. But you know where you are. You recognize this place. You're not really sure how you got here. But that doesn't really strike you as particularly strange for some reason. You four, plus Mango, are in the catacombs under the city. You've been here before. This stretch isn't one any of you have been in or recall, but it's definitely the Agmar catacombs. You all have been walking for some time. You can feel it. You all have your weapons at the ready. And for some reason, Checkers is leading you. Checkers.
Yes.
It is at this point that the voice enters your mind once again. This missive is sent silently, as all the others have been. No one even reacts to it. You are the only one who hears. And the rest of the group continues trudging on this along this corridor as you receive this information.
Hang on, guys. I got something. Come back. And you all just see Checkers begin what he has called throughout this entire trek through the maze, his process, in that he goes to find somewhere slightly elevated and just kind of like perches on it for a little bit. And then he closes his eyes and then just goes, zap, pow, boom. As if he's, like, pointing at something, trying to fire lasers off. and he
there
has...
There are lasers?
He's done this maybe 20, 30 times since you guys entered this. And every time he's told you that, like, the voice is something important to say to him, but he has to follow his process to be able to communicate with mm-hmm. it. And he has to really embody himself in that moment when the voice first communicated with him. So this whole track has taken maybe, like, 3 times as long as it really needed to. But after about 5 minutes.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Have you guys just standing there and waiting for him to finish this thing?
Probably smacking him around a little bit at this point.
No, I gotta start over.
I feel like Val has just, like, cast light on, like, her eye mask and then, like, is just reading a book.
Yeah. Yep.
Kashkin's just, like, adjusting Checker's hat as he's doing this. Is like, is this getting better reception or not?
And then Self and Cass are kind of just playing Boulder Parchment Shears.
Yeah, right.
All right. We're almost there.
We were almost there last time.
Yes, too. But this time, I promise.
And the time before that.
Shh, don't doubt the voice of the obelisk, all right? It knows where we must go. It knows what we must do. And I have a message for all of you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. No.
It knows when you are sleeping.
This is not getting released at Christmas. We have to move on.
So I have good and bad news. The good news is that we're almost where we need to go. The bad news is, and honestly kind of good news too, is that there's some weird, spooky guardians up ahead that the voice can't really do anything about. And so it's about time to put on our adventuring hats and see if we can blast through them to get to where we need to go.
Okay. How do we want to prepare, team?
And give me a minute to see if I can find out anything else. And Checkers goes back to, like, miming, blasting lasers at people.
Self, how would you like to go faster? So you know how fast you've been going?
Fast,
how about more than that? How about twice as fast?
Twice as fast. That is an intriguing proposition. And how would this be done?
Kashkin is going to use a metamagic, some of its metamagic points, as well as some of his spell points, to cast Twinned Haste on both Checkers and Selv.
Ooh.
Nice.
And correct me if I'm wrong, that gives you It doubles your speed up to 30 feet?
No, it just doubles your speed.
Oh.
Target speed is doubled, plus to the AC, advantage on dex saving throws, and extra action.
Ooh.
Checkers will break out of his trance at this point, knowing that we're on a time limit.
A 1 minute time limit.
There's robots ahead. Self, you'll be happy about this.
I'm sorry, what?
Robots?
And Checkers is also going to cast regular haste.
Okay, uh-huh.
And we're going to cast this on Kaskrin.
Nice.
Okay.
I'm just imagining the Spider-Man's pointing at each
other. Yeah, yes. All three of us point at each other.
Haste.
And vibrating. Yeah. With just stored up energy.
And then Checkers runs off ahead into the darkness.
No way, Checkers, I need more information on the robots. My spells really rely on the types.
I was going to say, the three of us will speak normally, but then you have to always be like, wait.
Are they celestial elementals, fey fiends, or undead by chance? I need to know.
No.
Damn it.
They're robots.
My cool thing.
Checkers does a few pews and he says no.
No.
Any other little things that you guys want to do here in this rare moment before known combat that you guys get?
Yeah, we never get this. This is great.
I cast Bless.
Who are you? Are you casting it on
the three of them? The three hasted people that are just playing calling for it. Whatever.
Why not?
Yep.
As the group moves forward, some at faster speeds than others, you all come to a change of scenery. For the last several hours, you have seen many morbid skeletal sights of various skulls and corpses and, you know, just kind of your general, ooh, cobwebs, spooky, spooky kind of things. But now, there is light. A series of torches, all burning an arcane red, circle a huge vault door that is gleaming gold. On front of this door is a mix of arcane runes and large gears of clockwork. And there's no handle. No dial? I guess dial for a vault door?
Yeah.
Nothing other than these markings.
Val's just like, ooh. And you can just see her squint to see if she can read any of the markings.
Any of these gears or anything protruding out further than the rest of them?
A great question. They are actually all seemingly perfectly milled so that they all fit like a Swiss watch, to use an earth term for this phenomenon. It is actually all, at least from where you are, perfectly flat all along the intricate ins and outs of all of these pieces. As you guys approach a little closer into the light, the various gears start to turn and click and clunk.
Is it opening or locking? I can't tell.
The answer is unfortunately neither. Because, to use yet another Earth term, as if a clockwork transformer appears, two large humanoid shapes emerge from the door, made out of bits of glittering gold and gear work. One towers 10 to 15 feet up in the air and is a normal kind of humanoid shaped robot. The other is also more humanoid, but has an extra set of arms, is a little smaller, and is actually further up on the door, hanging like some sort of simian creature. Wordlessly, but boy, very loudly, the creature on the ground starts clomping toward you. And I'd like you all to roll for initiative, please.
Woo!
Yay!
Dungeons and Dragons combat.
Dungeons and Dragons.
It's been a little bit.
Kaskrin yells his trademark battle cry, Autobots, roll out! Taskrin with a 22.
Ooh. Checkers with a 17.
Self with a 10.
Now, normally, I could theoretically, Sophie, be like, all right, and then the other player is here. But I want to hear the number. What did you roll, Sophie?
Val's busy reading the markings on the wall.
She's not hasted like the rest of us.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Good point.
Rolled a 2.
Oh, okay. Again, it doesn't really change anything, no. But it's...
Thematically, she's just, you know, taking a little dawdle in the back of the group, you know?
You're
seeing the sights.
Observing the situation.
Yeah.
Top of the order, Kasker and Brightmane, you old so-and-so. You got haste up.
I got
haste
up.
You've been hasted.
It's true.
And then there's this large clomping creature coming right at you. What do you do?
Oh, man. Kaskrin is going to move forward and take a defensive stance and just brace himself for the oncoming attack. But he also notices that there is a bit of rubble off to the side of these catacombs. And so he sees these two creatures, and he's going to use catapult to grab a piece of rock and hurl it towards the two creatures in a line through them.
So to do that, you would, since one is slightly elevated, you'd probably have to get like kind of up close to the larger one.
Okay,
and
yeah.
Ricochet it through, but yeah. I assume that's probably not the worst thing that Kaskrin could do.
Right, yeah. So he's just going to like grab a rock as he moves up underneath this big creature and then just hurl it at him through it and towards the other creature hanging on the ceiling.
Okay.
Please make me a dexterity saving throw.
Okay, first big guy. What's the target number here?
15.
That is a failure.
Ooh, okay. That is 10 points of damage.
What type of damage?
It is bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
And I will say, I don't know what you are, but we have to get past you.
Sorry.
The rock that you hurl telekinetically bangs against its plate armor, and it definitely, you know, dents it a little bit, but you can tell it's going to take a lot more rocks to slow this thing down. Anything else?
I'm also going to attack it with my hasted action.
Ooh, yes.
You get a d4 to attack rolls.
That is a 17 to hit.
That hits, except...
Oh, no.
It's going to use a reaction.
Oh, no.
As you... describe, what are you doing kind of the classic, like, pull-up hammer from the ground and swing it as a big thing of rock?
Yes. So, as a bonus action before this, Kaskrin summons the armor, summons the weapon before him, and he is going to manifest this obsidian morning star, this blunt weapon, and really try to hammer into these metal creatures.
Your morning star is... arcing directly towards maybe this thing's like exposed knee or something,
yeah.
Trying to bring it down. And as it is about to contact, you can hear from somewhere deep inside this creature something whir and almost spin up. And for just a flash, just the instant it is required to block your attack, an energy field kicks up.
Sick.
A kind of purple field,
yeah.
Blocks it and does not allow you to for your thing to connect.
Ah, these things are hard to hit. Be ready.
So I'm imagining that Checkers has been speedily approaching these two creatures as he's been jumping between pillars that are sort of supporting this room.
Cool.
And Mango has been speeding along the ground alongside Valeska. As Checkers gets to the pillar closest to this creature that is hanging off the door, he's going to reach out and throw out a jagged fishing hook to try and pull the creature towards him.
The one up on the
yes.
On the door? Great.
Correct. That'll be a 23 to hit.
Ooh. Yes, indeed.
Only 3 points of damage, but it is going to get pulled 10 feet towards Checkers and hopefully off the wall.
Okay. Do I get a save for that?
You do not. As long as I hit, you are pulled 10 feet, as long as the creature is large or smaller.
Describe this, what happens to this creature as it is just kind of like suddenly finding itself 10 feet away from everything.
So Checkers is sort of hanging onto the pillar with one hand. He reaches out another hand and he's got this big net cape kind of flowing behind him as he whooshes forward and connects with the fishing hook. And you just hear the screeching of metal as this creature finds itself pulled away from the wall into the air and drops to the ground.
I'm going to roll for, fall damage.
Correct. Yep.
So I'll say that it's about 30 feet up in the air.
Sure.
So it's going to be a pretty sizable fall downward. It takes 7 points of bludgeoning damage.
Cool.
But, you know, it really feels like it maybe actually takes less damage than that. Like, it seems to maybe because it's just very kind of supernaturally spry and able to catch itself, or maybe just because of the kind of natural hardness of its metallic body, it doesn't seem like that hurt it all that much. All
right. As a bonus action, I'm going to command Mango to grow. So I'm going to use the Torrential Might ability to have Mango go from medium size to large size. So as he moves and runs and jumps alongside Valeska, he makes one final jump, grows to a massive 10x10 sphere, and lands right next to this fallen creature. And I'm going to give up my hasted action to make Mango attempt to grapple this thing.
Okay, excellent.
So because he's large, he's going to get advantage on this. That's only going to be a 12 against contested athletics or acrobatics.
It succeeds.
Ah,
so it
dang.
Is, you see, as this perfectly timed maneuver, Mango is right there, right at the moment that the kind of the dust kicks up from this thing falling. And as he goes to stick his tongue out, I almost said to tongue it, and I don't. I'm not saying that.
He's just like gumming at it with his mouth.
You actually see that this creature, it twists its body and kind of rearranges where its arms and legs and torso all are to just perfectly dodge as Mango tries to kind of envelop him.
Nice try, boy. We'll get him next time.
Good news. It's now its turn. It is going to first take a bonus action, and it is going to disengage.
Gross.
It is going to disengage, and it is going to move 30 feet, probably back towards, I guess, so it's going to move 10 feet back towards the wall, and then another 20 feet back up the door, and one of its arms extends out as this is happening and kind of like swaps its hand out for what appears to be a harpoon gun.
Oh, no.
And it levels it directly at Checkers.
Okay.
So first is going to 15 to hit.
Fails to hit because...
Because of your haste?
Yes.
So the harpoon whizzes by you and kind of like clangs onto one of the columns and kind of like... It is actually attached by a rope, and as the rope kind of zips back into the robot quickly, immediately another arm spins around and points at you, this time shooting what appears to be more like a normal, maybe crossbow-y kind of bolt.
Sure.
Ooh, that is a 23 to hit.
That hits.
15 points piercing damage.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's the kind of day it's going to be.
I took the damage, and I did make the concentration check.
Okay, excellent. Now, it is the large guy's turn. It is just going to do a big old smack on the Kaskrin in front of him.
Okay.
So, this creature is actually still glowing just a little bit with that kind of pinkish-purple energy. And as you see the field flicker out, two fists come just pummeling one right after the other, like a gorilla kind of just slamming their forearms down onto you. First attack, 19 to hit.
That hits.
14 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay, I'm going to spend 2 sorcery points and attempt to reduce that by 2d8. I reduce that by 10, taking 4 points of damage.
Nice. Second fist attack.
All right.
21 to hit.
Absolutely hits.
11 more points of bludgeoning damage.
That is 11 points of damage. Kaskrin succeeds at his concentration saving throw.
Okay, excellent. Everyone is still hasted. And that is the end of its turn. And it just immediately snaps back into its kind of like ready upright position as if it hadn't just tried to absolutely squash Kaskrin like a bug.
Yep.
So this creature, the large one, is mostly like mechanical looking and gears and awkward angles, stuff like protruding out, like arms held outward, or
it is all mechanical. You have seen it do at least one arcane thing, but to call any part of this awkward does not do its kind of perfect symmetry justice. It is much more an art installation than it is an awkward kind of Frankenstein robot.
Okay, I guess the awkward's a bad term. Am I able to gain purchase on any part of it so as to climb up this thing?
You can try to climb anything.
Okay.
Would you like to attempt to do so?
Actually, what I'm going to do is attempt to run up, jump onto maybe a part of its leg, and then spring up to an arm and clamber kind of onto its back.
Okay, let's say you give me an athletics check and you will look to beat its armor class.
Okay. That's a 5.
I will not punish you for doing that very cool thing.
How much of my 90 feet of movement do I use?
You probably use, like 30 feet of it, but you would have to still get up close to it to try to jump up onto it. So you are well within melee range of it at the moment.
That is fine.
I'm just imagining it, like, because it's like a mechanical thing. It's got like whirring gears, and the one you use to as a foothold just like slams shut. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So since I'm up there, I'm going to. Does that count as any of my action?
We'll say, I don't know, that should count as something, probably.
Will that count as my hasted action?
Yes, that sounds perfect.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
In that case, I will attack it a couple of times, and we'll see what happens.
God, hasted self must be just horrifying to see move around.
Well, actually, that's the thing is you don't see him move. It's just impact.
Yep, it is Dragon Ball Z anime movement. Just
16 to hit?
That is a miss.
Okay. That was
so it just clangs off the armor. You don't quite get the angle right.
All right. Second attack is an 11 to hit.
Ugh, nope.
We're rocking it. I'm going to spend a point of ki to get 2 extra attacks for my bonus action.
Great.
14.
No.
Wow.
Haven't rolled above a 5.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. 17.
That hits it exactly.
Mm. Okay. 1 out of 4.
Wow.
It did use its reaction already.
But it had its turn, so it has recharged its
reaction.
I think it is not going to use its reaction at this moment because you're just hitting it with pitiful little dragon fists.
That is true. That's 12 points of magical bludgeoning damage.
Ouch. Little dent into it.
And then I am going to... I am not going to leave its kind of threatened area.
Yep.
But I am going to dance around behind it.
To round out the first round of combat, Valeska Carter, what's up?
Hey, you getting just meandering pace, looking around like, ooh, wow, what is this?
Fist in a pouch, just shoving last-minute granola into your face. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just finishing up some sketches in her notebook real quick of the, giant room under the city. Like, ooh, wow. Andromeda's really going to want to see this.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, oh, wait, yes. Oh, of course. We'll start by casting Spiritual Weapon. And I don't have a fun thing that it's
screwdriver.
I was like, what's the opposite of
a drill?
Crowbar.
It's
a monkey
wrench.
Just be the whole toolbox.
Yeah. Perfect. This is a large creature, so you may need multiple tools. That's just logical.
Jangles menacingly with all the little bits and bobs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and cast it over the simian creature. 13 to hit.
13 is a miss. It is able to once again just kind of like swing away from the attack.
That's all right. I'll go ahead and have the... Ooh, that one's probably kind of dexterous. You know what? It'll be fun to do this. Still aiming for the same creature.
Yep.
Val will cast Eldritch Blast.
Hey.
Ooh. Because of my level, I get 2.
Yes,
so I
indeed.
Roll 2.
Yep.
That will be, the lower is a 18.
Both hit.
Great.
Wow. Nice.
Nice, nice.
Ooh. That is 14 points of damage.
Ooh.
Nice.
And it seems like force damage does... all the damage that you hope that it does.
And I think Val is just like, she's in the back. She's just kind of like, okay, wait, I'm getting my head in the game. And I think she's like almost surprised by her own Eldritch Blast because she's just like, okay, I got to aim it. And she's like, pew, pew. And she's like, oh, wait, oh, okay, worked. Great. Pew, pew.
Opening her spell book to be like, all right, step one. All right, we practiced this. All right, we talked about this. Berger gave me a lot of good advice. All right, ready, go.
And I have to ask, what does it look like?
Oh, yes, of course.
I think these are gonna look like two stamps, but like the stamps you use to put the due date
yeah,
on the insert
that.
Card.
Uh-huh. I love that. And just like I'm imagining it is coming at the creatures you're aiming them at, like mm-hmm. in a flat kind of 2D sense, but they're still tracing like an outline behind them where it like streaks across yeah. the sky. Mm-hmm.
I was just imagining like two ninja stars, but like they're origami ninja stars or something with the stream of light.
Mm-hmm. Just wait.
Anything else?
I'm not hasting. No, that was my action, my bonus action. I am battle trigonometry tree.
Taking a step back.
Jonathan mentioned there's pillars. Yeah. I will be behind one of them.
I just automatically put pillars in every room so I can hide behind
yep,
them.
You did just Checker assume seat. Pillars, yeah. and that's
fine.
He needs
vertical space.
That's... Yeah, anything vertical, that's where I'm at.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hi, it's me, Sophie. Do you want more Reckless Attack? Then join our Discord and chat with us in our community. The link for the Discord is in the show notes, or head on over to our website, recklessattack.com. We also have a Patreon. You can listen to our new show, Reckless Snack, and other content if you become a patron. We really appreciate your support, and thank you for listening to the episode.
That is the end of the round. So, to remind everyone, basically everyone's on the ground. The kind of notable exceptions to that is that Mango is on the ground, but very large. Val is on the ground, but lightly behind a column. And then there are two combatants who are scaling things in Checkers, who is on a column, and this archer-y kind of construct. Top of the order, Kaskrin.
Kaskrin is going to introduce a new pillar. I am going to cast Stone Pillar underneath this sort of simian robot, assuming that it's on the roof, and the pillar is going to begin growing underneath it in an attempt to squish it against the roof.
Yeah, so it's like on the wall, like 20-ish feet up.
Okay.
So I would say the roofs are max probably like 30 or 40 feet. Okay. So as long as it can grow that high, you're good.
It can grow 30 feet, so I hope the roofs are 30 feet tall.
They are. Yep, boy. They're exactly 30 feet.
Hell,
I have gotten
yeah.
so fucking soft.
Yeah.
because I haven't run a combat in so long.
God, if they were
sure.
like 31 feet, this wouldn't work at all.
No, it's,
he's thicker than a foot tall.
There happens to be a 10-foot tall mound of dirt right underneath where this creature is.
I will grow my pillar on that dirt and watch it flourish into
okay.
a beautiful pillar tree. Please make me a dexterity saving throw, DC 15.
Ooh, this sure sounds like a saving throw against a spell or magical effect. Let me just roll these two dice here. That is higher than a 15.
No! the pillar erupts very slowly from this mound of dirt, but unfortunately the creature kind of skitters away, presumably.
It was a 31-foot ceiling. Shit! Damn it, he just got out.
Val, teach me battle trigonometry next time. I am still going to use, as a sorcery point, I'm going to hit the big guy in front of me, and then I'm also going to use my hasted action to hit the big guy in front of me.
Love it.
For my first attack, I'm going to charge it with this sort of resonant energy that I have absorbed from the initial blow from this creature, and I'm going to put it all into this Morningstar attack. That is going to be... 13 to hit.
That is a miss.
Second attack, using my hasted action. That is going to be 20 to hit.
Ooh, absolutely, and no chance of using its shield against that one.
14 points of damage.
Okay, ow.
And that is my turn.
Checkers, your go.
So we're going to try this thing again. This simian creature and I are just battling back and forth up on this vertical space, and we're trading harpoon blows and fishing hooks. I'm going to try and shoot out another fishing hook to see if I can pull it off the wall again.
Sounds good.
19 to hit.
That is another hit.
8 points of magical piercing damage.
Ow.
10 feet off that wall, and let's see it fall.
Unfortunately, it's 20 feet up the wall. Ooh, another 7 points of bludgeoning damage, which does a little less
All right.
than you would hope it does.
Once again, Mango's going to come in and try to grapple this thing on the ground.
Awesome.
That is an 18 athletics.
Ooh, nope. Rolled a 5 on the die. That's not going
to
do it.
All right. So this thing is now grappled on the ground by Mango, and I'm going to give up my hasted action to have Mango slam into this thing as it's got its tongue wrapped around it. 17 to hit.
That is a hit. How to ask this question?
Yes.
Is
Mango's tongue magical? Yes.
He's magical in my heart, but not mechanically.
Not in
magical.
His stat block. Okay.
Correct.
It's going to do a little less damage than you would hope.
11 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay. Again, there's something supernatural resilient about this metal, so that even this large, extra beefy boy is not quite able to crunch it like a tin can like he wants to, but still does something.
And that is the end of my turn.
Now it is its turn.
All right.
This time it is going to fire two different arms at the same time. One is going to be pointed at Checkers, and one is going to be pointed directly between the eyes of Mango. Let's do the Mango one first.
Ranged attack at melee range?
I know.
Mm-hmm. So 14 hit?
14 does not hit.
Okay.
Yeah!
So it tries to line up a shot against Mango, and like is just kind of being tossed around a little too much, so it's not able
Mango
to...
Mango just shakes it till it stops.
yeah, exactly.
Stop.
Ooh. It is going to, again, lines up another shot at you, Checkers. And could you please make me a dexterity saving throw, please? Because the bolt that is being fired at you is different than any of the other ones you've seen thus far. Almost in a theatrical slow motion, your very keen, very mechanically perceptive eyes catch that at the end of this bolt, instead of an arrowhead, say, or something like that, there appears to be a glass sphere.
I would like to say that I have advantage on dexterity saving throws because I'm hasted.
Good luck.
And you have a d4.
That's going to be 14 dexterity saving throw.
That is a failure.
No.
Oh.
So I have gathered my 5d6 here.
Okay.
You take 18 points of fire damage.
As a reaction, I'm going to cast Absorb Elements. This is the first time I've had to do this. But Checker's skin just becomes sort of like watery and translucent, and it shrugs off some of that fire damage that is coming in.
Okay, excellent. However, as part of that, you are also pushed 10 feet.
Ah. Hoisted by my own petard.
And so you are launched off of your pillar. In fact, it takes a dent out of the pillar, kind of where you just were, and you are just launched into the air. I will be kind and not say you are launched, you know, kind of into the fray of things, but you get what I mean.
I regret nothing.
So I don't know. That might be another, I think you were 20-ish.
Yeah,
seems
I'll be 20
reasonable.
Feet. So I'll take 3 points of bludgeoning damage from tumbling to the floor. I do succeed on the concentration saving throw.
Okay. And both of them from both the damage sources.
Correct.
Excellent. Now it is once again the very kind of extra large one. He is going to do a smack upon the Selv and a smack upon the Kaskrin. First.
Whoa.
First the Selv.
Hold on here, buddy.
That is a natural one.
Hey.
So
it worked.
You can see its head turns around to look at you 180 degrees, Selv, but just because of the angle isn't quite able to get a really good bead on you as you're moving as a blur with your 90 feet of movement and can't quite get to you. Second attack against Kaskrin. Ooh, that is an 18 on the die.
That hits, unfortunately.
And that is 13 more points of bludgeoning damage against you.
Okay, I will spend one more sorcery point and reduce that by 2. Given my natural armor, I have reduced it by 5 total. So I'm going to take 8 points of damage. And for my concentration saving throw, I will succeed.
Excellent. All right. That is the end of its turn. Selv, your go.
I am going to attempt to do some punching upon this big
punch
creature.
It.
And then...
Punch it for me.
Avenge us.
I will avenge them.
So I'm going to be making, initially, 2 attacks against this big creature. That's a 15.
Miss.
And a 25.
Big hit.
Nice.
Yes. Then I'm going to spend another key point to do Flurry of Blows. So another 2 attacks. 14 to hit and a 15 to hit.
Nope. Only of those, one hit.
Okay. All right. Well, again, with the one hit. So that's going to be 10 points of damage.
Ooh,
bludgeoning, magical.
Pretty good.
Then I will use my hasted action to disengage.
Ooh, okay. Right. Hell yes.
And I will then be moving. Let me check. Yes, that's 45 feet away from this. Not quite. I'm actually going to be moving maybe 40 or so feet away from this creature.
Round up to 45.
Yeah, we'll just round it up to 45. Then I will move away from this creature, and then I will just take a defensive stance and get ready to probably use some unbroken air fists next time.
You know, interesting. Just as you are just lightning sprinting away from this creature, tactically, of course, in a very heroic, cool way. Not that you are
running away from this thing. It is a strategic disengagement.
Exactly. You still, despite you moving, I assume, close to the speed of sound, manage to catch this creature emanating a sound. Actually emanating some words. Not speaking them, but just from maybe that same place that Kaskrin heard that kind of whirring sound, you hear a feminine voice speak a spell. Very calmly, very in control, as if they are just reciting a grocery list. Usually for this sort of a thing, I would describe it as, oh yes, you know, some of the gears start shifting around and this thing happens, but this is a magic spell, so it just simply grows larger. And then seems to keep growing larger. This creature has now tripled in height.
What?
Cool.
It is now scraping up against the ceiling and is 30 feet tall. It is absolutely, probably has already displaced at least Kaskrin a little bit.
Yep.
Has come close to getting right back next to Selv, even just with its kind of natural spacing. It has already cast everything in this room in shadow from those torches that are behind it along the doorway. But it's not its turn. Val, it's your turn. What would you like to do to round us out at the end of this round?
Val hears this horrible rumbling sound, peeks around the pillar, and is like, what the hell happened?
And by the way, this is taking out multiple pillars near it, too.
Val will move to more stable pillars.
First, find more pillars.
Second, my spiritual weapon is still by the simian creature, so we will roll to attack. That's a natural one.
Oof, ain't gonna do it.
And then let's have the gargantuan creature. This seems like kind of a problem. can it please make me? Ooh. See, it's like, do I like probe it before I just like blow a big spell?
It got very large very quickly, so.
Yeah, we could use some help over here. It's pretty big.
Please have it make me a wisdom saving throw, DC 14.
Rolled a 15.
Great. Still takes damage.
Okay.
13 points of psychic damage.
Wow. Okay.
What spell is this?
Dissonant Whispers.
Ooh.
Oh.
So from around the pillar, it almost looks like a breeze that has like kind of a bluish iridescent tint. And Selv and Cass, you hear it as it passes you, this just librarians.
Yes. Yes.
What a terrible discordant sound.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're disappointed in you.
This is a library.
Anything else you would like to do?
I find a new pillar.
Sounds excellent. All right, that is the end of the round. Right now, very large mango has the very normal sized crossbow archery robot construct, that's the fantasy word for it, safely kind of latched, and this construct is looking pretty rough now. It has now kind of really started to feel the strain of the frog crunch, as it were, TM, 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 TM. And really, everyone is on the ground, And there's fewer pillars now. And yes. And also the one construct is now 3 stories plus tall. And again, this is a gargantuan creature. It operate by kind of kaiju rules. So you are able to kind of go underneath it and all that good stuff. But yes, it is much larger and scarier now. Kasker and Brightmane, top of the round. What did you go?
So I was really hoping I could enlarge myself and like shove this thing, but because it has tripled in size, it is too large for that.
Indeed.
And I'm mad about it. So I think the only thing I can do is try and take down this thing's like ankle or something.
Very cool.
So what I'm going to do is, as a bonus action, I am going to reform my Morning Star into more of this like dense, long javelin, this 10-foot pole. And I'm just going to try and jam it in between two of the construct gears in this thing's ankles.
Very cool.
My first attack using the resonant energy as well is going to be 24.
That is a big time hit.
14 points of damage.
Ow.
Second hasted attack. 24 to hit as well.
Big hit.
14 points of damage again. And my last second attack.
Yep, understood.
I have 2 attacks.
Mm-hmm.
My last second attack. Ooh, that's definitely going to hit on a 26.
Hell yeah.
Dealing 13 points of damage.
Okay.
That is 41 points of damage total. Ooh, on 3 attacks.
Nice.
Please describe to me, because you are hasted. You are just like hacking at this foot. Please again, repaint this picture of Kaskrin going banana pancakes on this foot, essentially.
So I'm imagining this is like, you know, the classic like Iron Man gauntlet boot where it's got the metal sheathing, but then there's all this delicate machinery and gears inside of it. Kaskrin is an ant next to this thing. But he's next to this exposed machinery. So he's going to take this this long javelin and wait for the perfect moment where these gears are turning and just shove this in to disrupt as much as he can. He hears the gears begin to whir and whine, and all of a sudden electrical sparks shoot out from this ankle gap, rendering it immobile.
Hell yeah.
Excellent. Anything else?
That is it.
Checkers, you have recently been blasted into oblivion and then now are like had to scramble out of the way of this suddenly much larger creature.
Much
that
like
you're
some
very
of the
to.
Dice at this table, you have been yeeted.
Yes, indeed. What would you like to do?
So Checkers like picks himself off the floor. he's fallen over. He's been knocked down and he just kind of looks at that simian creature and just kind of glares at it.
he's finally found his true rival.
Yeah, right. Only I'm allowed to do that. You can't do that. Mango, get it out of here. And I'm going to command Mango to drag this creature behind, like, the rubble that's been created from these pillars to get it out of line of sight of everyone. I want to hide it. Yep. I don't want it to be able to attack us while we're dealing with this thing.
You mean make sure it doesn't have line of sight on anyone else?
Correct, yes.
Because the way you phrased it was like, so no one can see what I'm about to
fucking
do. Well, it's like, I was picturing the cartoon where like everything kind of happens off camera. So you just see him getting dragged behind the pillar.
Yeah.
And then it's like...
Right, we got to take him to the barn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Mango comes out wearing his clothes.
Yeah. All right, excellent. Sounds good.
So Mango, I'm going to use my bonus action. So Mango's going to drag this thing behind cover so it can't see us.
Okay.
Mango's going to slam into this thing, just kind of give it the people's elbow and try and break some of these mechanical parts with my hasted action. That's a natural one, unfortunately.
Ah,
so
alas.
Couldn't quite get it in position. And then I am going to... Kaskrin looks like he's got a decent handle on this thing.
I'm gnawing on this ankle.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to keep trying to knock this simian creature down so I can help out with the rest of the fight. I am going to... throw one of my conjured magic stones at it, just a little frog rock, and just hurl it right at this thing's head and try and dent the helmet.
Awesome.
That is going to hit on a 28, a 26.
Hell yes.
8 points of magical bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
I'm also going to invoke the blessing of the hateful turtle. Now that I have it where I want it, as this rock plinks off its helmet, a set of massive turtle jaws pouring water from both sides just materializes out of nowhere and grabs onto this creature's body, crushing it.
Is this going to do damage?
It will.
How would you like to describe this turtle crushing this creature? Because it has 1 hit point remaining. And I was like, should I round up? I don't know. We'll see what he does. And it's like, oh, okay, no, sick big turtle. Yeah. Good.
As this rock just kind of plinks off of the helmet, just leaving a little dent, the simian creature is like, what was that? And all of a sudden, it just sees a massive set of turtle jaws just close around it and crunch it in half.
Yep, sparks fly, all that good stuff.
All right, Mango, here we go. The real fight.
Now it is the very large creature's turn. It is going to, it may not surprise you to learn, try to step on, smash, fall on, rub its butt up against, and otherwise try to smush the people who are around it. It is going to take 3 attacks this time, and it's going to do quite a bit more damage this go-round. So first we're going to say Kaskarin, that horrible, horrible creature that has been gnawing at its ankle. 16 to hit.
That misses.
Okay, it's going to do a second one against you, why not?
Okay.
Even worse, actually.
Oh, man.
And it's going to do a smush on, let's think. I guess self.
Does it have 45-foot reach?
Yeah.
All right.
It's gargantuan. We've
got a problem,
it
folks.
It occupies 30 squares and now has a 15-foot reach.
Ah.
Hate
Ooh,
that.
Ooh, bad, though. 19 to hit.
With the haste, puts me at 20.
Nice.
Oh, damn it.
Nice.
So this thing, it is moving just colossally slow and trying to slam, and you guys are just barely able to keep out from under what would be assuredly, I don't know, say a large handful of dice worth of damage if we were speaking in such game terms. But that is the end of its turn. You can actually tell now, Checkers, now that you have seen what one of these constructs looks like all smushed up, you guys are definitely getting the sense like it is not far from joining its unfunctioning brethren. Selv, your go.
We're going to start off with if it's within 15 feet of me, a couple of...
It's within 15 feet of everybody, yeah.
A couple of fists of unbroken air, so we'll see how that goes. That is going to be a 27 to hit and a 26 to hit.
Yes.
I am going to spend a key point and try a stunning strike. DC 14 con save. I'm assuming it could be immune to this. I don't know.
Is this a paralyzed condition?
Would be a stunned condition.
Ooh, it is not immune to stunned, which feels dumb. It rolled a 22.
Oh.
It doesn't matter. Roll a 22.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, we'll deal with the rest of this later time.
I will spend another key point to continue my flurry of blows for another 2 attacks. 14 and 16.
2 misses.
Okay, that is fine. For the first 2 attacks, that's going to be 10 points and 5 points.
Ooh, it is... Just it's not like it's not one snapping turtle jaw away, but it is say, I don't know, do you have anything else you'd like to do?
There is. I have a hasted action.
For example, that might be a good next place
to
start.
I will take one more strike at it with a hasted action.
Give it a luck. Good luck.
23.
Ooh, another one. Yes. Nice. Hell yes.
Okay, so that will be 7 points of bludgeoning damage.
Oh, it's not quite dead.
That is it for me.
Val, end of the order. You can see now, with essentially your entire party just harrying this thing's ankles and feet, you can see now sparks are starting to show. It is still very dangerous and very functional, but you could tell maybe a couple hefty hits could do it. Can you do it here at the end of the round?
We shall see. We'll start with the spiritual weapon. That's not going to hit.
Oh.
So Val really just wants to get to the markings, the hieroglyphs on the vault. So Val will cast Dissonant Whispers at 4th level. Please make a DC 14 wisdom saving throw.
And I'll tell you, it is a +0 wisdom.
Great.
That is a 10 on the die. That is a failure.
Great. I get to do 6d6.
What?
Nice.
Okay.
Nice.
Roll good.
Melt its construct
Roll
brain.
Good.
All of your books are overdue. We're revoking your library.
No! You might as well kill me.
Ooh.
That's 20? A lot of 5s and 6s in
I'm
there.
Re-rolling this one because it was tilted.
Into a 6?
Into a 6, so I felt like it should be re-rolled. That is 29 points of psychic damage.
That is enough damage. Not by a lot, but is enough damage. Please describe how this thing is destroyed by your dissonant whispers. And I'll also pre-clarify that as it is kind of short-circuiting and stuff, it starts to shrink back to its normal
does
size.
Does not crush us.
And right, exactly. Ending the party. Or robots
does it,
fall,
does it
et cetera.
Expand out of existence?
Mm-hmm. So everyone now again sees that, like, wisp of wind, a little bit bigger and more substantial than the last one, that floats up all the way to the ceiling, up to this construct's head, and it kind of swirls around. And does it look disappointed? Does it look sad? Hurt? As it slowly shrinks down, you can see this construct just, like, as it physically grows smaller, you can see, like, the lights in its eyes go out just of utter disappointment in itself. That's how this robot
is. I was too loud in the library.
Yeah.
As soon as the lights go out in this construct, there's just a moment of pause where things are still. And the large door in front of you all starts turning and churning. Clunk, clunk, clunk. And it perfectly rolls to the side and shows you your way forward. As these doors open and you walk through, you all are hit with a musty smell. You walk in a little bit further and you find yourselves in a room. There is scant illumination provided by more of the arcanely lit red torches. And all around you, you see stuff. You see tables filled with empty vials. You see mostly empty shelves with a smattering of books and knickknacks. You even see frames up on these cavern walls filled with unrecognizable art, all of which are covered in dust and cobwebs and mold. The room continues a little deeper into darkness that none of you can see through.
What is this place?
I don't know, but the voice is telling me we gotta go in there.
Is there a sharp edge, I guess, to the darkness? Where, like, you get to a point, then it's just, like, dim or lit to being just jet black?
Oh, yes.
We've made it this far. Take a step.
Well, err on the side of caution.
And I will take my staff and dip it into the darkness. And then take it back out and see if there is still a full staff there or if it has been
disintegrated.
Like, disintegrated or, yeah, sliced
it is,
off.
Yes. It acts as if, again, you guys are all high level enough to know, it acts as magical darkness would.
Right.
So it does not consume your staff. Again, good. I don't mean to say that to dissuade you from making that good check, but yes.
All right, checkers. I hope you know what's in there. And Caskrin will start taking a few tentative steps closer to the darkness.
Val as well.
Caskrin, you find darkness.
Neat.
Does everyone follow?
Val has joined Cask in the darkness.
We've come this far.
Once everyone is shrouded in this darkness, it feels eerily familiar to the restricted section, in that you can't see walls. You can't see a floor. There are no shadows. There are no light. It is pure black void.
My champion, enter so that we may share counsel.
Hey, that's the voice. It's the voice in my head.
Did we all hear that? Or is that...
Everyone heard this. And as you're all peering around for a moment, looking for the source, perhaps, or looking at each other, which you can't see each other.
We're holding hands.
tied together, I assume.
No, we're just holding
it. Yeah, got it. Yeah. You see in the distance, two more red torches have suddenly lit up further in the direction that you are walking.
Checkers lets go of Val's hand, and you just hear plap, plap, plap as Checkers and Mango run into the darkness.
Guys, guys, come on, we're almost there. The voice, I can hear it.
All right, and then Selv will kind of, still holding on to the other two, kind of move them forward.
Yeah, start jogging forward a little bit.
In the darkness, the three of you find Checkers and Mango, and they are standing in front of these torches. Very soon, it's almost as if your eyes adjust to the light, because slowly you start to make out a chair, high-backed, fairly simple, something adorning the top of it. In it is a hunched figure. Your eyes continue adjusting to the darkness and strange red light. And you see that it is a humanoid sitting here. You can just start to make out some tattered clothes that it still appears to be wearing. And now you realize, while it is humanoid in shape, you see that it is missing parts of or all of its limbs, save for its right hand. And what remains of its body is inhumanely thin and skeletal. Finally, you see that covering its face is a white cloth held by a headpiece.
Oh no.
From behind this face cloth, you see two red lights light up, illuminating two things. First, a scrawled on eye on the face cloth itself, and the symbol sitting atop the chair, a symbol that you all know, a symbol known throughout the world as a symbol of power, of glory, of oppression, and of ruin. The symbol of the Pentarchy. Echoing throughout the room and echoing throughout your minds, you hear a voice.
Hello, Checkers the Grung Druid. Hello, Golden Tree Guild. Thank you for your work in protecting my city in my absence. Now, we must discuss the future of this city and this world as it sits in the maw of invasion.
She extends her withered, old, decrepit, singular hand to you all. And she says,
sleep and see.
And for three of you, lights out. The black void encompasses you completely, and you are out of consciousness. For a fourth member of the party, you see her veiled head slowly turn towards you as you stand alone in front of her. And she says,
interesting. We will discuss this later. If you survive.
Blackout. And that is where we'll end this week's episode. See you next time, everyone.
What the fuck?
What?
How?
I'm gonna be Nazar the Black. Yeah.